from Jake Friend. It's now with Mitchell Pearce, and here's Keary coming in from the back on a short ball away. And Cordner. Cordner scores. Oh, great ball from Luke Keary. Now it's Keary. He puts a little kick out looking for Tupou.
Obviously, we got Junior there who's running the team. So, I just play off the back of him. He runs the boys around and, just try big focus on the running game and complimenting his game.
Luke Keary, wow. What a difference he's made to the Roosters. Two games, two man of the match performances, and getting that combination going with Mitchell Pearce, but also getting that combination going, I reckon, more significantly with Latrell Mitchell on that left-hand side, although he can drift to the right-hand side as well. Hello, Andrew Webster from the Sydney Morning Herald.
G'day, boys. Good game last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's been very good, Luke Keary.
Yes, he has been. I know one thing, the certain figures at the Sydney Roosters would love nothing more than seeing a South Sydney player from last season absolutely starring for them. In the first two games, the Roosters looked very good. They looked very good again last night. I thought Canterbury were willing. You know, they came back into the game. They didn't let go, despite some question marks still over their attack. I thought Canterbury looked much better than they did the week before. It was a bit hard to judge in the wet against the Storm. I have to say, boys, I think the quality of the football in the opening round and then again last night has been very, very good. I think the start of the season has been really strong. We've seen some really good footy. I thought the best team from the first round was one that actually lost, and that was Canberra. That's a serious footy team. So, no, it's been a good start to the season.
Yeah, mate, your column today, NRL cracking down on clubs exploiting the concussion rule, especially the Eels.
Well, it's interesting. It's, concussion is the burning issue at the moment. And I know for a fact that the NRL, Brian Canavan, the head of football of the NRL, told all the coaches before Christmas that they were going to come down hard on teams that exploit the concussion rule for free interchanges. And they hammered home the point again through a pretty strongly worded email to all clubs and all the coaches on Monday morning. So some stats and some analysis from last season, just the regular season, brought up quite a few things about the Eels, that they're the most, of the 359, just bear with me here because this gets a bit tricky, of the 359 concussion-related interchanges last year, the Eels had by far the most, 46. In the first period where most players come off, which is the 15 to 25-minute period, they've had one in four of all the concussion-related interchanges across the game. Now, the thing that sort of sparked a bit of interest out of that Manly game on Sunday was Tim Manor in the 22nd minute was replaced, fairly innocuous tackle, sort of clutched to his eye, looked like he got poked in the eye, you know, which happens from time to time, and he came off the field for a concussion-related interchange, a free interchange, and then came back on later in the half, and quite a few rival coaches, as they tend to do, were sort of cocked an eyebrow, and they mentioned it to me. I spoke to Brad Arthur yesterday. He was furious, as you can imagine, at the suggestion that Parramatta are exploiting the free interchanges through concussion. And he made a very interesting point that Tim Manor had actually had blurred vision, headache. That's the reason why it went on. Look, regardless of whether Parramatta or any other team are exploiting the system, it really is the dirty little secret of the NRL when we're talking about concussion off the back of James McManus. The clubs will use free interchanges whenever they can, you know, to their advantage. It's the way of the game, but I think the NRL are going to look very, very hard at it in coming weeks. And you can tell by, some of the hard talks that they've said in the last few days that they're going to be scrutinising it much, much more. So watch this space.
Mm. Yeah.
Tim Simona, mate, what's the latest there?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Slate has either got life, 4 years, 2 years, indefinite ban. So it's been quite comical, I think, the whole Tim Simona thing. He's been given life and banned from the game before he got to front the NRL this week.
Well, how's he been
so
given life?
I think
life?
There'll be a verdict next week. I think the way that they will go, despite everyone sort of having stabbed in the dark about what type of suspension he's going to get. The strongest indication that I've got from the NRL is that they will deregister him at some stage early next week. and then he'll go and play rugby union in France with the Super League over there have already shut the door on him possibly playing over there. They have an understanding with the NRL, yeah, and he can't do that. And then in a couple of years' time, we'll be on this show and we'll be talking about the idea of him, you know, coming back to the NRL. So I don't think he'll get the lifetime ban. I know one thing, some of his West Tigers teammates aren't entirely surprised by the whole thing. They've been concerned with the company that he's been keeping for some time. I also understand the NRL weren't entirely happy with the interview that they did with him because he didn't really completely divulge everything that he's been up to. So I think that's the way it's going to play. But is that a strong enough deterrent for people who... It's not match fixing. I think that's sort of been a misnomer, the way that people have been calling it that. It's spot fixing. You know, it's like the Ryan Tanny thing. It's not fixing a match.
Well, I don't...
The outcome of a match.
I think that's a big call too. I don't even know whether it's spot fixing. But, you know, I guess it will be revealed.
It will. It will. But if he's backed players to score tries that he's marking against, that's spot fixing.
Yeah. Only if you let them score.
Sorry?
Only if you let them score.
Well, that's what the allegations are. Well, of some of the bets he's had, and he's had... You know,
my information is that any bet that was on an opposing player was unsuccessful. That doesn't make it right.
Okay.
I mean, he's... Look, don't worry. If the Olympic Games are stupidity, at this stage, it appears Tim Simone has won the gold medal.
Mm. Yeah, indeed.
Right?
Indeed.
But I think to say game fixing, spot fixing is a really big call, but I'll wait for the findings.
And very quickly, mate.
Sorry?
We must be talking to different people.
Very quickly, mate. Bryce Cartwright, how's he tracking?
There's some talk that he won't play for Penrith this weekend. Apparently, he didn't know last weekend before the Dragons game that the Sunday Telegraph story was about to break. There was plenty of people who thought he must have known because he missed 7 tackles. Look, it's an ugly, ugly situation, as we all know. And I know you guys have pretty much, like a lot of some sections of the media, have tried to keep away from it because it's a really tricky story. There's one set of facts that's coming out from Miss X. There's another set of facts that's behind the scenes that hasn't really come out. I think you'll find Phil Gould might go pretty hard in his column on Sunday about the whole situation. But yeah, there's no winners in it.
No, there's no winner.
It's been a really, really tricky situation. But it's a reportable story. Whether you like it or not, it came out on the front page of the Sunday Telegraph on Sunday. And then all of a sudden, the league has every right to investigate it, but hasn't sat well with a lot of people, as you can imagine.
Good on you, Webby. It'll be quite a weekend than last week for you, mate.
I was very quiet. I was on the footy show on Sunday.
I'm not too sure yellow's your colour, actually.
Good on you, champion.
Good on you, boys.